And it was really particular. It was a particular journey to have this dichotomy between these two cultures, between Vulcanism and humanity, right? And it was a big conflict in the beginning. And I love that we found a sort of stasis for Burnham. I appreciate the writers for that. And it was really lovely to find it. I feel that all of our characters found this stasis. We found this balance, and we sort of did it together. Our journeys were running, you know, parallel while they were intersecting in all these different ways, too. But I think physically speaking, you know, we see this liberation happening with Burnham over the course of the series. There's this rigidity in the beginning that mimics the logic, right, and the rationality. But then there's a fluidity that comes over the course of the series, and that mimics her liberation as a person, and finding herself and defining herself for herself, and realizing that she is just as dutiful as she thought she was, but now it's an internal drive and not an external drive.
Shaniqua Martin Green's Michael Burnham has had an interesting evolution as a character. I also thought the actor took it to a new level in her craft as well. This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. Burnham's Journey, the evolution of Michael Burnham. Here's Shaniqua Martin Green.
Oh, man. Well, I love what you said about how the season itself encapsulates the evolution of Burnham, because that's sort of exactly what happens. And you know, we see that. So you see that contrast. You see it right in front of your face. Sometimes it's hard to remember how far you've come until you're just looking at it face to face, literally. And I love that the character evolution in general has become a cornerstone of our story. It has become a tenet of Star Trek Discovery. And I hope that it becomes part of the legacy that we leave to the franchise, is that we were able to tell a story where you got to see people become who they were meant to be. And you get to see Burnham and everyone else. It isn't just Burnham, but you see Burnham especially go from fear to faith, go from pain to purpose, go from fighting for absolution to being able to give absolution to someone. You see this woman become the type of leader that she is, an inside out leader, a leader who's on the ground, but who leads with grace and who digs the gold out of everyone around her. My perspective on it is just that I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. I thank God for, not just the character and the people and the story, but even just how fulfilling it was as an artist.
There's more with Shaniqua Martin Green on Sci-Fi Talk's Trek Tuesday, so stay tuned.
Great to talk to you, Shaniqua. An interesting character. No captain has ever started the worst she started, literally in prison. And look what she's done. I mean, it's amazing.
Right.
There's two men in your life I want to ask about, you know, for Burnham.
Yes.
And that is Cleveland Booker, of course, and also Saru.
Yes.
Talk about those two relationships. And they kind of share you in a way. They both interact with you a lot.
That is very true. Well, I mean, I have so much love and respect for Doug Jones and David Ajala, and you know, I mean, that goes across the board, you know, because there's also a really special relationship between Burnham and Tilly. But I, you know, with Saru and with Book, you know, I love what we see in the toward the beginning of season 5, when it's time for Saru to fulfill his purpose. It's time for him to, you know, reach his own destiny, you know, with his own people. And I love that as he exits, it's time for Burnham to rise in a way like never before, because now the guide is gone, the shepherd is gone, the sort of big brother is gone, the voice of reason is gone, and now it's time for her to do those things, be those things herself, and give them to somebody else. It's almost as if Saru's exit just from the ship signals her stepping into a mentor role, her stepping into the role of guide and shepherd and teacher, the one who's reaching out to someone and pulling them forward, pulling them their true selves out of them, right? And so I love that Burnham and Book also do that for each other. They're iron sharpening iron. It's super complicated between them. There's a lot going on between them, but they ultimately make each other better. And I love that. I love that about those dynamics.
Is there anything that you have accomplished, either as an actor or behind the camera?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, in front of the camera, I'm particularly proud of making television history. In front of the camera, I'm proud of how bold we were as an iteration, that we did things that no other Trek has done. We were serialized to a degree that no other Trek has been. We went to a future beyond where any Trek has gone. We made television history with diversity in a way like never before. And so I hope that boldness is part of our legacy. And, you know, just being that first Black female lead first, and then being the first Black female captain in lead, and then even behind the scenes, being able to be a producer on the show and then an executive producer for season 5, that the evolution just, you know, it sort of had a butterfly effect, right? And it went outward. It wasn't just between action and cut.
Balancing her humanity and Vulcan upbringing.
And it was really particular. It was a particular journey to have this dichotomy between these two cultures, between Vulcanism and humanity, right? And it was a big conflict in the beginning. And I love that we found a sort of stasis for Burnham. I appreciate the writers for that. And it was really lovely to find it. I feel that all of our characters found this stasis. We found this balance, and we sort of did it together. Our journeys were running, you know, parallel while they were intersecting in all these different ways, too. But I think physically speaking, you know, we see this liberation happening with Burnham over the course of the series. There's this rigidity in the beginning that mimics the logic, right, and the rationality. But then there's a fluidity that comes over the course of the series, and that mimics her liberation as a person and finding herself and defining herself for herself and realizing that she is just as dutiful as she thought she was, but now it's an internal drive and not an external drive. And so I love that we get to see these fighting styles against each other, because it's one of the major reasons why present day Burnham defeats, you know, past Burnham, is because now there's a freedom. There's a freedom and there's a security, and you can see it. You can see it in the fight. We wanted to make sure that we did that. I got to big up Chris McGuire, our stunt coordinator, for, you know, for doing that, and our director Lee Rose, because it was important for us to showcase that contrast, that growth, that evolution in the fight as well, in the physical performance. So,
Sonequa Martin-Green breaks it down on Trek Tuesday here on Sci-Fi Talk. Revisiting Burnham again at the beginning in a future episode.
Can I just be honest with y'all? It was hard. And you know why? Because I had even forgotten, Sonequa had forgotten how far Burnham had come, right? I lived it, I created it, but I was so consumed with what was going on in the present day for Burnham that when even I was able to see where I had come from, when I had to step into it again, I was apprehensive about it. It ended up being thrilling to do, but man, what a painful place I used to be in as Burnham, you know, at a time like striving for approval, not having any sense of real self-worth and security, and feeling like I needed someone to tell me that I was worthy and tell me that it was okay and forgive me for my moral mistakes and everything. Man, I remembered as soon as I was in it, I was like, ooh-wee, this was a painful place. This was a painful story to tell. It was an absolutely necessary story to tell. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me tell that story, because we need to see that, but it was painful. So then it was really beautiful, because it even spoke to me. It blessed me and inspired me to be able to say to myself, like, oh, man, I forget how hopeless this time was. Like, just keep going, you know, like if we could all get an opportunity to say that to ourselves from years and years ago, right? And each character could have that same moment with themselves from season one, right? Like there's hope ahead of you. Just keep going and don't give up. So it meant so much to me on so many levels to tell that story. I have to give so much respect to Sean Cochran, who wrote the script, and Lee Rose, who directed the episode. We knew what we were doing as we were doing it. We were like, ooh, you guys, this episode is special. This episode is special. And let's hope that everybody takes it in the way we're doing it right now.
Burnham meets herself in that episode. How did she find that place?
You know, I think I did. I think I actually did go back. I think I went back in a couple ways. I think I went back and watched a little bit. I went back and read a little bit of some of the earlier scripts. And I went back into my journal as the character, because I had a sort of stream of consciousness journal that I would keep. And I went back to that, too. And man, it I didn't even know what it was going to seem like. I could hear what everybody was saying as I was shooting it, because, of course, I'm looking at a double. And, you know, but once I was able to look at it in post, it's like, oh, man, you really can see this. It almost makes me want to cry right now. It's like, you really can see this growth. You can see the growth that this character went through. What a gift that they gave me, that they gave Burnham, that they gave the audience, to be able to see this kind of growth. And then you can imagine it, like I said a moment ago, you can imagine it with all of the characters. I mean, think about how far Saru came. He was a completely different Kelpian from where he is now after he went through, you know, after he went through his transformation. And, you know, Culber went from death to life, literally, as well. And we see Tilly as this sort of scared, you know, girl who becomes this leader, this woman. You know, we see the journey that Adira takes. We see the journey that Stamets takes from this critical person to this beautiful, sensitive, you know, scientist. It's it's one of my favorite things. It's one of my favorite things about Discovery. And I just feel so blessed that I was able to watch these artists create and that I was able to create what I did.
For season 5, she took on an expanded role as an executive producer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll say this, that from the very beginning when I started Discovery, I took my leadership role very, very, very seriously. And I knew as number one on the call sheet that it was going to be up to me majorly to establish the culture. And the way I would describe my culture, I've said this a million times, is the only star is the story and we're a family. And that's exactly what we became, because everyone agreed, because these are the most gorgeous people. We definitely had lightning in a bottle. But I was always sort of producerial in the way that I approached the work, in the way that I approached my position on the call sheet and my position in the show. And so when it was time to actually like sort of put it in writing and make it even more real, it was 1 + 1 = 2. And the network was, they were lovely. They were lovely about it. They were like, obviously you already are, so let's go. You know, it was fantastic. It took all of a business day for us to make it, put it in the annals of the records and in the annals of time. And so I was involved from the very beginning. I was a bridge between the cast and the crew and production, and then being able to sit in post as well and watch that process happen, being able to have conversations with people as we were shooting, being able to make decisions, being able to facilitate connections and relationships, making people feel safe, making people feel heard. Making sure that all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted. It was a lot of work, but I thank the Lord for it. I thank the good Lord above for it.
Star Trek Discovery, the final season, is on Paramount Plus. I'm sorry to see this one go. It really was a very interesting series and was the one that brought back all the alliterations of Star Trek that we're enjoying right now. I'm also sad about Lower Decks, which I think gave us a chance to kind of smile and laugh occasionally with Star Trek and not at it. I'm going to miss both those shows. The clock is ticking on customizable podcast playlists, exclusive videos, special episodes like the Mix 100, selected by listener downloads. All this and more at Sci-Fi Talk Plus. Over 1,000 episodes and counting, and they're uncut, and this special offer for free lifetime access is now available only until May 1st. It's only weeks away. Click on the link in the show notes. No anonymous signups are allowed. Thanks for listening. This is Tony Tolato for Trek Tuesday.